Story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
So Chris, we are doing another story time today, and we played in your campaign, kind of. So basically, if you remember, we played in the Unending Sea campaign, but we had this night where we did a different story, like a side story, because we were missing some of our players. Namely, Chris, we were missing you. So you were there, and Songjin is pretty crucial. So we did this like side quest thing. And so one night we weren't able to completely have everybody be there for your campaign, The Adventures of the Solarian Islands. And so we played The Adventures of the Solarian Islands, but we did, you did kind of the same exact thing. You said, we're going to do another side story. So it's going to be connected, but just so we don't have to worry about somebody missing something crucial, because we're at kind of a crucial point, we're going to do a side story. So tell us a little bit about the setup and everything and what we did that night.
Yeah. So like I said, like you said, Mitch, the point that we're at in the campaign is one where it's kind of like we needed everybody there to make the group decision, and so one of our players wasn't able to be there. So I decided to do something fun as a one-shot that would give a little bit more light to the current story that we're going through, but that wouldn't ruin anything for the person that wasn't there. So I said to you guys on Facebook to make all rogue characters, because you're going to be going on some sort of mission that requires you to be stealthy, slip in, slip out, undetected was kind of the way that I was hoping it would go. We'll find out whether that was actually the case or not. But so you guys started out the night as rogues, some of you very evil, some of you more neutral, as a part of a group of rogues called the Night Arrows.
Well, we were more than rogues, I would say. You set it up. We were assassins, was basically what it was.
Yeah. So. Well, and you guys are a part of this Assassins Guild that is known throughout the world, but almost as like folklore, where it's kind of, you know, people know you by name, but they can't say that they've ever seen anybody or heard of the Night Arrows actually doing anything terrible, because you guys were so good at what you did.
And just as a side note, what was really cool was, this has always been something that I've said, and you've heard me, I think, recently on this podcast talk about how I've always wanted to do a night where everybody was the same class. So in this game that we played in, we're all rogues, an entire party of rogue, an entire party built around being sneaky and backstabbing, and it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and so you guys started out the night with the Mother of Life and Death, who is the leader of the Night Arrows.
MLD,
walked down
yep.
these stairs. MLD, yep, that's what the nickname was for her the whole time through the night. And even I embraced that. I was like, all right, fine, we'll just say MLD from now on. And so she walked down with a letter to your group. And Mitch, what was your assignment that you guys needed to go on as the Night Arrows?
Well, first of all, it was sweet because you actually made this letter prop you had gotten a wax seal. So
yeah,
coolest thing ever, breaking that. We didn't even want to break the wax seal.
Yeah, like, you guys like so pass cool. it around and we're like, who wants to do it? Who wants to do it? Don't break it.
But our job that was given to us by an anonymous employer was to kidnap Alexander Blankley, who was the ruler, the governor of the Solarian Islands.
Yeah, so you guys had to decide where you were, like how you were going to get there. You guys decided that you were going to take a ship, because I said to you guys, like, you guys try to blend in as much as possible. You're not the pompous people who just go and say, all right, we commandeer this ship. Like, you guys try to blend in to kind of keep the folklore tale up about the Night Arrows. And you guys got something before you left. I forgot to mention this, but you guys got something before you left that would help you on your mission, this potion. Mitch, do you remember how that potion worked exactly?
Yeah, so it was this sweet potion that each of us got one of them. And basically, we could take a hair from our head, or in my case, since I was an Arakrokra, a feather, and you put it into this potion, and whoever you had their hair or feather or whatever it was in this potion, you could have a telepathic conversation with them wherever they were for 30 minutes. So this allowed us all to kind of, it was basically like the D&D equivalent of having earpieces, only like this potion that gave us this telepathic communication during this assassinating job, which was really sweet. And we didn't use them yet because we only had 30 minutes for it. So we were holding on to it.
So you guys were saving them for later. But so you guys finally figured out that you were going to take a ship. Some crazy stuff went down where you guys were like, well, it's 25 gold. The bounty was 25,000 gold if we did it. But we're still going to try and get through this without having to pay anything. And so Caleb's character, he ended up forging some documents and trying to get some names on a list, because you guys scouted out for a while and figured out that there was this whole system of passing the ship log back and forth, adding new names, this, that, and the other thing. And eventually you guys got on the ship. You did something pretty sweet in this moment that allowed you guys to get on the ship with some rope and an arrow. Do you remember how that all shook out?
Well, they were looking for, Caleb's character was trying to get the ship's manifest, and he basically failed in his stealth checks to get it. So he came to me, who I was just chilling at the cafe, because they had basically all done the player like, oh, I'm good enough, I've got this. And I kind of just took a back seat. And so I was like, all right, I'll get it. And so I flew up, and with my flying ability and my sharp shooter feet, I just flew up 600 feet with this long rope. I tied it to the arrow. I shot it down. I hit the ship's manifest. I pulled it back up, and then I pull up the manifest. I take the original manifest, and then I take another arrow, and I put the fake forge manifest on it, and I shoot it right back down onto the table. And so it might have been a little suspicious because there was an arrow in it, but hey, it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, it worked out in the end. So you guys got on the ship. One of you almost didn't make it on the ship because of I made him roll to see how well he forged each of the documents, but you all made it on fairly unscathed. And so you guys made it to the Solarian Islands. And one of the first things that Jared's character wanted to do was to walk into a place where he could get blueprints for the building that we were going to go to. And so he went to the Royal Council building, which was the famous spot of the Hootmanana, the smoke incident. Ran into the same two halflings. He took Jared's character down to the Room of Records, and he got a mental snapshot that he then later drew out for the floor plans of the building. So you guys weren't just completely going in blind, having no idea where you were going. And so you guys made your way to the northern part of the city and found the home of Alexander Blankley. And Mitch, this was supposed to be a fairly stealthy mission, I think is kind of how it was set up.
That was the plan.
But how did that actually shake out once you guys started going?
Well, so I decided that I was going to be the eyes in the sky. And so one of our players, Casey, was a gnome character. And so I carried him and I dropped him onto the roof where there were guards, and he was able to kind of sneak around, and I'm kind of up in the clouds, like trying to just see everything, but stay out of sight, like hoping that nobody's going to look up and spot me. And if they do, think I'm just a bird, a big bird.
Right.
And so the rest of the group decided they're going to sneak through this garden area and try to climb up into the terrace and enter into the house. And so one of our guys goes and it's perfect and he makes it. The next guy goes and it's perfect and he makes it. And then the final guy goes and
it's always the final guy.
Trips. And he makes a whole big noise. And immediately the guards start reacting, and they started bringing out dogs. And there's like this classic cartoon chase scene going down with the, they're running around chasing them. I'm in the sky communicating them telepathically, telling them which way the guards are going with this awesome potion. Really helped out a lot, being able to like see the whole ground and being able to communicate to them and tell them you need to go left because guards are coming right at you. And so that was able to help everybody at least survive this encounter. But yeah, from the get-go, one failed stealth check, and it was pretty much utter chaos. They knew that something was going on. They didn't know how many people were there, but they knew that somebody was going.
Yeah, I just imagine this whole thing being like super stealthy, like coming up, you know, taking the guys out, you know, from behind, no trace. Like I had this whole system set up where it was like, all right, you're gonna have to hide the bodies, and like it's gonna be percentile whether people find them or not because there's guard shifts. You know, put all that work in, and there's just I don't have to use it at all. So, but yeah, it was actually really helpful that you were in the eyes in the sky because I wasn't sure how that was gonna work out being an Eokokra in the air when you were gonna be inside a building, but that worked out really well.
It was really sweet. I, you know, that was kind of thing. I was like, well, this might be just a really boring job for me. And that's the thing. If the plan went as planned, I think it would have been boring for me.
Right.
But once it just totally got ruined, I was able to kind of use my sharpshooter skill and use my bow and arrow and just start to pick off some of the guards that were chasing after the rest of my men, the rest of these assassins brothers of mine. And so the plan going awry was actually something that allowed me to be the eyes in the sky and actually be pretty helpful. Yeah. It was kind of fun. Yeah.
Well, so then after all of the guards kind of started rushing out of the building and they were all focused on the forest where people ran back in, two of our players jumped through into onto the terrace and into the building. It eventually became three. Casey's character eventually made it in there too. But they barred the door behind, which was really smart thinking on Jason's part to bar the door so the guards couldn't get back in. It bought them a little bit more time. But that terrace in particular led to Alexander's master bedroom, where it was late at night. He's probably sleeping in there. So they went in, didn't find him, probably because the guards woke him up and told him to go hide somewhere. And so the group was kind of trying to figure out what was going on. Jared's character shapeshifted because he was a changeling into this
female. Which was a cool reveal. None of us knew that until he did it in game out of any of our sight.
Right. Yeah. And he changed into like this female character and was walking up to the front door to try and like just draw more attention away from what was going on. And eventually, after people found some stairs that led down into a basement, they found a panic room that had a code on the outside of it that they had to click, you know, these buttons in a specific order in order to come in. And eventually they clicked it after some damage that happened to them from poking the wrong combination. And inside was Alexander Blankley pointing a crossbow out, telling them to leave him alone. He fired one crossbow bolt, and then I think a crossbow bolt got fired back, but it was tipped with drow poison, so he went unconscious. And you guys had found who you were looking for. And the note also said, don't worry about finding me. The employer said that. I will find you after the mission is done. And so you guys carried Alexander Blankley.
All except for one. Jared's character, as a changeling, took a good look at Alexander Blankley's face, went into his wardrobe, put on his clothes, and took the form of Alexander Blankley to kind of ease the guards' attention once they ran in and said and looked to find him. So he kind of took his place in the panic room and waited for the guards to come and check to see if he was okay. Well, we snuck away into the woods with the true Alexander Blankley with us.
And so you guys made a campfire for the night and you were starting to wonder, like, what is it that we're going to do? How are we going to get paid for our job? How are we going to get this guy to this anonymous employer? And Mitch, what ended up happening around that campfire?
Still a little bitter about this, but so Harlan Planer comes out of the woods and we only have one guy sitting at the fire. The rest of us are in the trees, in the shadows, and he's like, I know you guys are here. Come out. And so we all come out. And Harlan Planer is joined and we're totally surrounded by Salarian knights. And so as players, we're just like, oh, great.
And we've run into these guys before in the other game. We know what they do.
And all of a sudden, we're all knocked unconscious. You tell us that the lights go completely out for all of us. And we thought that was the end. It wasn't the end. It was pretty close to the end. But we awake in this dark, dingy dungeon area and we're chained to the wall, and Harlan Planer comes around and he starts, he says, do you have any last words? And he starts to slit all of our throats. And
you got one last shot.
Yeah, he trickles the blood into a bowl. You asked me if I had any last words, and I said no, but my Arakrokro would like to poke out one of his eyes if he can. And so you allowed me to roll. I succeeded. I poked his eye out. He is now missing an eye, which is not what he was in the original story. So I changed continuity. Yeah. Yes, I love it. I'm okay to walk away with that. And then I was killed.
It was not world-altering continuity shift, so I'm okay with it.
So then my throw is slit, and he walks over and...
Yeah, so he did that to each and every single one of you, but you didn't die right away. You were still all like looking in his general direction. And there was another person in the room, unnamed, just standing there, and he takes the blood, pours it into a bowl. He takes some purple mushrooms, which some of your characters went and got as a side quest because they weren't here for a night. So it was kind of like that, hey, you know what? You did something that
cameo
is helping.
Of mushrooms.
Is helping aid him in this very dark ritual that's going on. And then it starts like bubbling and mixing all together. He has a couple other things and hands it to the guy next to him. And he says, "Welcome to the Brotherhood of the Salarian Knights." And the guy drinks it, and then he starts convulsing and falling on the floor, kind of like out of sight of all of you guys. And about, I say, 15, 20 seconds later, he stands up, and his face is completely burned. He's got holes in his cheeks. His eyes are just completely white, almost like he's dead or something like that. Like, it's he just his appearance shifted so significantly that it's like, whoa. So this is what's going on. And then he places a helmet on the guy's head, covering his face, a golden helmet, and says, "Rise now as our newest member of the Salarian Knights." And then I said, "All the rest of you, you fade out eventually to black." And that's where we ended the night, was with that as your last image, kind of giving a little bit more insight into how the Salarian Knights are made. That's not going to help you at all for the rest of your characters because you don't know that. But yeah, it was allowing you as characters to partake in a very large portion of the story, because this was the point in our actual story where Harlan Planer says, "The governor's been assassinated. I will be taking over control of the islands until we find somebody that is a suitable benefactor for the throne."
I was just glad that Jared escaped your evil demise to kill us, Chris, because you totally didn't see that coming, and it was great.
I did not
see
that coming, and I rewarded him for that. Yeah, and sweet. You may or may not see his changeling character again in the future.
Maybe we've already seen him. He is a changeling.
Maybe you have already seen him. You probably haven't, because I didn't have that part written into the story at this point. But I do have an idea of what he may be in the future, so... keep an eye out for that.
And with that, you'll have to check into another story time to see what happens to our group in the adventures of the Salarian Islands.
Thanks for listening to this week's story time. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters and what they have done within our worlds. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Story Time.